So some of you are aware that in just a couple of weeks, Carissa is going to be ordained a full elder in the United Methodist Church. What's the date?
May
31st. So just at the end of this month, and you are invited to come up to Baltimore and be part of that celebration. I have to tell you that Carissa flew through her exams, and we were so proud of her. Reverend Lee and I sit on the Board of Ordained Ministry. But not everyone does so well on those exams. They're hard. They're challenging. You have to write all kinds of theology and answer all kinds of questions. A couple years ago, Lee and I were sitting there, and the final question we had for these candidates was, what is Easter? It's a big question, right? So the first person came in, and they said, Easter, Easter. They tap in their brain, and, oh, yeah, Easter. That's where people, like, dress up and they put on costumes and they go out with bags and they knock on doors and they ask for candy. And we said, oh my gosh, that's Halloween. Next, please. So we brought in another candidate. Next candidate came in, it was a little bit better. Said, oh yeah, yeah, that's when people decorate their houses and the trees and lights. And, you know, we stay up late that night before we drink hot chocolate. And the next morning we come down, there are presents under the tree. No, it's Christmas, Christmas. So finally, we're a little disappointed, you know, ready to call it a day. And the last candidate came in and said, what is Easter? And they started to answer so well. Easter. That's when Jesus was spending a last week with his friends, and he shared a holy meal. He washed their feet. The authorities came. They arrested him in the garden. They killed him after a mock trial. They put him in a tomb. And 3 days later, Jesus came out and saw his shadow, and he went back in the tomb. Now, of course, these were not really candidates. But sometimes I think we Christians act like that joke, in that we celebrate Easter in such a big way, and then we safely tuck Jesus back in the tomb, right? We put him away until the next Easter. When the most radical thing in the world has happened, God has defeated death. It's just 2 weeks ago, friends. God has said life will have the last word. And Jesus starts showing up to his disciples in mysterious ways after that. We saw it. We see it every year. We see those resurrection appearances and the mystery of all of that surrounding that, that Jesus is alive in the world. And that is the great Easter affirmation, right? We are in the season of Easter. And we believe in a God who goes out in the world. I want to continue the scripture that Cindy started for us, because the writer of Colossians has a big view of Jesus, a high view of this living God, this one who has been there since the beginning and who continues to hold everything together. So I'm going to read verses 15 to 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created. Things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. Whether on earth or in heaven. By making peace through the blood of his cross. That's a pretty big view of a living Jesus, isn't it? A Jesus who has been alive since the beginning of time. A Jesus who was reconciling all things to God in himself. A Jesus who is in all things. A Jesus who continues to be alive at all times and in all places. One of my favorite poems, I was introduced to this years ago by an Episcopal priest friend of mine. I'd never heard of the poet Gerald Manley Hopkins. It's a great English poet, also Episcopal priest, who talked about seeing God's beauty and God's grandeur all around us. And one of his most famous poems is called As Kingfishers Catch Fire. As kingfishers catch fire, dragonflies draw flame. as tumbled over rim in roundy wells, stones ring, like each tuck string tells, each hung bell's bow sung, swung finds tongue to fling out broad its name. Each mortal thing does one thing and the same, deals out that being indoors each one dwells, selves, goes itself, myself it speaks and spells, crying, what I do is for me, for that I came. I say more, the just man justices keeps grace, that all keeps his goings graces, acts in God's eye what in God's eye he is, Christ. For Christ plays in 10,000 places, lovely in limbs and lovely in eyes not his, to the Father through the features of men's faces. Christ plays in 10,000 places. Christ plays in 10,000 places. I've always loved that line in the poem. It starts off with this sort of admiring the nature, the grandeur of nature, right? The glint of light off a kingfisher or off a dragonfly, and the goodness and the wholeness in a person who is doing what they are called to do in the world. The aliveness of an individual has been doing what they're doing. Just like a rock that's been dropped in a well makes a sound, and that sound is joyful to God the Creator. So when we live into our fullness in Christ, we are bringing God glory. Christ plays in 10,000 places, in the faces, features of men's faces. That's a big view of Jesus and of God, isn't it? That is not a God that we keep tucked in a tomb or put back after Easter has come. That is a God who is going to surprise us and show up everywhere in the world. I'm not sure my slides got copied over, but that's all right. We'll just make the best of it. So, it might be my fault. I might have not done something. So we begin a new series today. And the series is about blurring the lines between the sacred and the secular. Just like I was talking with the kids a few minutes ago, sometimes we in church make the mistake of thinking that God's holiness only lives in temples, only lives among Christians, only lives when we are gathered together here in this place. And somehow there is a different world out there. There's a different world of work. There's a different world of commerce. There's a different world of relationships out there. But where God's holiness is, where God's presence is here. Now, let me tell you, I think that God's presence is very much with us. I think whenever we gather in worship, we are in God's presence like we sang earlier this day. We are standing in the presence on holy ground. But I have a view of Jesus, a living Jesus, and I have a view of God that is big and expansive, a view that says there is no sacred and secular, there is only one world, and all of it belongs to God. And so I look for God in Scripture, first and foremost, because that's where God is revealed to us. But I look for God everywhere, all the time. I look for God in music and art. I look for God in songs. And I look for God in conversations. And I look for God in strangers' faces. I look for God in unexpected places, because that's where we see Jesus showing up again and again, right? We see Jesus showing up in the stranger who greets them on the beach last week when we were talking about that story of Peter's redemption, right? They don't recognize Jesus at first. It's only in the interactions, only in the gathering together and sharing that meal and breaking that bread and sharing the fish that they say, aha, this is really Jesus in our midst. When the stranger walks alongside them on the road to Emmaus, right? They're not sure who this stranger is until they feel their hearts burning within them. And then they know that Jesus has been with them. When the stranger walks through the doors, right? They are in the upper room assembled. They are scared to death. And Jesus is suddenly with them. He says, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Jesus is always showing up and just showing up wherever Jesus wants to. And I don't think that was just true in biblical times. I think Jesus shows up again and again and again. I think that Jesus shows up whenever we are open to finding God's mystery in the world, whenever we are open to recognizing we might be on holy ground and we didn't even know it. Now, you may be aware we had a garage sale this weekend. Yes? How many of you were involved in that garage sale in some fashion? Many of you. I see a lot of familiar faces. I've been seeing those faces all week long. And that's a good thing, by the way. We spend hours and hours prepping and pulling and sorting and piling and doing all of the pricing and all of those things so that we might make other mission trips possible, right? That's why we do all of this. That's why we put ourselves through this. We do it because we think that we are going to make a greater good come of it. But what I see is that Christ plays in 10,000 places while we are doing it too, right? There is community, and there's joy, and there's laughter, and there is the presence of God in our midst. I've had occasion on a couple of mission trips to preach, and often in Spanish, and so I try to keep my sermon pretty simple. Because I can't speak much Spanish, but I also want whoever is translating to keep it simple. And whether I've been in Puerto Rico or Costa Rica or Belize, I've preached in all of these different places when we have brought a team of people down to do work in a community. And my sermon is pretty much the same. I have basically one sermon that I preach over and over and over, which is this: we did not bring Christ to you. Christ was already present when we arrived. Christ plays in 10,000 places, right? We are not the only ones who bring Christ into the situation. We are there to experience Christ together in our midst. And I saw Christ alive in so many places this week. I saw Christ in the midst of all of the tenderness with which you treated some of our dear friends who lost loved ones this week. I saw you surrounding Doris with great care. I saw you sending notes off to Larry Hughes and to Peggy's family so that they would know how much she is loved and missed in already in our midst. I saw a package of soup and crackers and things from the kitchen at the garage sale make their way into my office where I was meeting with Shirley Young as we were planning Bob's service. And it was that act of compassion and that love that was surrounding Shirley and Carrie and her sons that day as they had stopped by my office to make plans for the service. You see, I saw Christ showing up in all of those places. I saw Christ showing up in all of you and all of your faces. But I really saw Christ showing up yesterday when we opened the doors. Because I don't know about you, but we get to see sort of a broader a piece of humanity when we open our doors. Let's look around. We look a lot alike here on a Sunday morning, typically. Maybe a little age difference and different colored hairs, but we look a lot alike. But when we open our doors to everybody, to the whole community, and everybody comes in, we see Christ in all of those faces. And I would say that we even see Christ in all of that stuff. All of that amazing stuff that somehow goes out and is turned into blessing in the world. We see stuff that is discarded and no longer useful to somebody, right? That's why they gave it to us. And some of it isn't useful. We take it right to the dumpster. But a lot of it gets repurposed, right? And a new life. And it brings somebody else joy. It had a chapter of its life. Now it's going to have a new chapter of its life. What in the world would give us the idea that stuff could be that holy? Maybe it's a table where we take ordinary stuff, just bread that we get now online. We order it online to make sure we have the kind of bread that we want when we want it. And juice, which we buy here, right here in one of our local grocery stores, is just ordinary stuff. And yet God blurs the line between the sacred and the secular. God says there is no line. Because wherever my presence is, it's not just stuff. It's holy stuff. It's not just ground, it's holy ground. For Christ plays in 10,000 places, in all kinds of faces, at all times, and in surprising ways that we would never expect. And so when you come to this table today, I would invite you, friends, to be open to the new ways that God will speak to you this week, not only in this holy moment, but in all the holy moments that are waiting for you as you go forth into God's good world, into God's creation, among God's people, where you will find Christ playing in 10,000 places and more. Thanks be to God. Amen.